Good afternoon. It's 3 minutes past one. The House Judiciary Committee is in session. We have three pieces of business that are in front of us today. My favorite bill is going to be first up in attendance today are Representative Lynn, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Coghill, Representative Rambus, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Gatto. I'm sure we'll be joined by our missing members shortly. First up is House Bill 15, ban on cell phones, the use by minors when driving. Or alternate title.
Mr. Chair.
Inappropriate. Representative Gruenberg.
Lindsay is speaking to a women's group and maybe a couple of minutes late.
No problem.
Could we pass on to the other bill first?
No. We're rolling. This committee begins at 1 o'clock.
Oh, all right. Okay.
House Bill 15 is before us. I think that we have Amendment 1 before the committee. Annie, would
Amendment
you...
Amendment 2.
Amendment number 2. I'm sorry. Amendment 2 is before the committee. Annie, would you come up and tell us whether we like Amendment number 2 or not?
That's Mr. Chairman, my name is Annie Carbonetti, and I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. And I don't have Amendment 2 in front of me, but I am assuming that it's the one that says is authorized by law instead of has probable
Annie.
Cause. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Do you have another copy?
And Mr. Chairman, yes, we like this, and we suggested it because it will make this bill more effective in curbing distracted driving by young people using cell phones, because if a law enforcement officer has probable cause to pull somebody over, they can do that under this bill. But if they have reasonable suspicion, if you don't have the amendment, they will be unable to pull that person over and cite them for using a cell phone. And it would arise in the most serious cases of distracted driving when an officer observes driving that is somewhat erratic. He or she has reasonable suspicion and is authorized by law to stop that car on reasonable suspicion that that person is driving drunk or for committing another crime. But if under the original bill, if they only had reasonable suspicion to make the stop, they would be unable to cite for driving while using a cell phone because they didn't have probable cause to stop. They had reasonable suspicion. So this would allow them to make stops as provided by law right now, and then if it so happens that the person was using a cell phone, they could cite for that.
Thank you. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. Question two depends on the answer to question one.
Okay.
And the word peace officer. The definition of a peace officer includes ordinary, everyday, gun-carrying, badged, uniformed policemen?
Yes, it does. Through the chair, yes, it does.
Okay. So then the question two is, what would happen if we dropped is authorized by law and just said unless the peace officer stops or detains the motor vehicle? And the question is, why does the term is authorized by law even necessary to make the sentence?
Could I just have a moment to read it without those words? Mr. Chairman, I think this may be a question better asked to the sponsor. I would say that the reason that they have put a standard for stopping is that you want to avoid the possibility, which is highly unlikely, but, you know, of a peace officer just making a stop without any legal basis of doing so, to harass somebody or something like that. I mean, I think that, but you would probably have to ask the sponsor why.
Second question?
Yeah, so the word is authorized by law is only referring to this one instance, or
Through the chair, it's referring to the stop, which is anything other than it doesn't refer to the stop for the cell phone, because the way the
That's
bill is
secondary.
Drafted, it's the cell phone violation is a secondary offense. So you would have a police officer stopping for a reasonable suspicion that the person's driving drunk for a taillight violation or some other thing like that, and then after the stop, as long as the stop is legal, they would be authorized to cite for using a cell phone while they're driving.
One more. But he's already authorized by law in some other statute to do this very thing. And so just don't know why we have is authorized by law in there if it apparently is just repetitive or redundant or unnecessary.
through the chair, I believe it's just to clarify that the reason for the stop is a legal one, and then you can cite for cell phone violation.
Any? Does the amendment lower the probable cause standard as applied under Coleman?
Through the chair, the Coleman case adopts the reasonable suspicion standard, which is different and lower than probable cause, but the Coleman decision recognized that as a legal basis for making a stop in our state, and it is as it is in every other state that I am familiar with and under federal law.
Representative Greenberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To answer Representative Gatto's question by asking a question to Ms. Carfinetti, if you just eliminated probable cause and authorized by law and didn't say anything, then if there was a blatantly illegal stop, mm-hmm. like they just pulled you over for no reason at all, then the conviction couldn't stand. Am I correct?
Through the chair, yes.
So we have to say something.
All right, wonderful. Are we happy? I'm happy. The chair is happy. Vice chair?
Happy.
Happy. Thank you. Any questions?
The amendment's before us, right?
The amendment's before us, and I believe that Representative Holmes had objected for the purposes of discussion. Madam Secretary, what do we do when the member who objected isn't present?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask a request.
Representative Greenberg, what can I do for you?
I'll defer to the vice chair.
I just want to know, Madam Secretary, what do we do when that's the case?
I would recommend checking with Tam.
I have a safe solution.
Yeah. Representative Grover.
Would you be willing to briefly put this aside and take up the other one and come back to it until she returns?
No. No, we're ready. We're just rolling. We're just we're.
Well, then you can go ahead.
Yeah, we'll take an at ease. 15 aside, and we're going to take up House Bill 101. Noah. Representative Coghill, when we left, I believe that we have a new CS before us, and it needs to be introduced. Representative Dalton?
Yes, that's 101.
Yep. Manda, we didn't know you were coming back. We're so excited.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I wish to make a motion to move the CS for House Bill number 101, version P, with any...
Okay, we have version P before us. Amanda's here to take us through the changes. We have Linda Hulbert, who wishes to testify. I believe that she was with New York Life, and the attorney, Dennis Bailey, is online to help with any questions.
Mr. Chairman, since the lady is here in front of us, she actually had to type this up, so she would know it better than me, so I will let her speak to it.
Okay. Thank you. Amanda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Amanda Mortensen, and I'm staff to Representative Coghill. The CS to HB 101 takes the life insurance and annuities exemptions from the statute 09.38.025, titled Exemption of Unmatured Life Insurance and Annuity Contracts, and puts the exemptions in the statute 09.38.015, which is titled Property Exempt Without Limitation. We spoke with Legislative Legal, and they felt that since we were taking the $10,000 exemption limitation out of the statutes, that these exemptions would then fall under property exempt without limitation, so they should instead be inserted into the list under 09-38-15. And also, if you look into the bill, we are repealing the section 09-38-25, since there is no longer a reason to have a section entitled Exemption of Unmatured Life Insurance and Annuity Contracts. We have also added an applicability section that states that this bill will only apply to a debt that is created on or after the effective date of this act. So this means that loans that were granted on any date before the enactment of this bill would be subject to garnishment of any amount above $10,000 on unmatured life insurance and annuity contracts.
Well done. Manda, you have just turned into just a remarkable person that's a staff member of this building. You're doing an excellent job. Are there questions for Amanda? Representative Grunberg.
I'd just like to thank her, the sponsor, the drafters, the committee staff, and the world for coming up with this. It satisfies my concern.
Thank you.
It's a good example of why you ask questions in committee and how it digs up the answers. And I think we found a good solution. Thank you.
So too. All right. With that, the chair would, I think we've closed for public testimony. I think we've closed. We have Linda Hulbert would like to testify. I apologize. Linda, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
You have any brief remarks to make? Don't love it to death.
I'll make it very brief. I support the change. I think this is an excellent bill, and I'm hoping that you will pass it today.
Thank you, Linda. Representative Dahlstrom, we're going to close public testimony. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to make a motion.
Yeah, would love that.
Please. And that would be to move the CS for House Bill number 101, version E, with attached zero physical note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Without objection, House Bill, CS version for House Bill 101.
Excuse me. Version question.
P. That
question.
Should be version P.
P like Papa?
Correct. P like Papa.
Okay.
Because we had a previous E like Edward, that is not the one that we want to consider.
I wasn't
listening. Let's see.
Version
Susan,
P.
Do you have P? Like, okay.
Thank you.
All right. So with that, House Bill 101 passes.
Thank you.
We are back to House Bill 15. The instructions from Pam were that as long as we had a discussion, we did not need to maintain the objection, but Representative Holmes is back with us. Representative Holmes, can you remove your objection?
To the amendment?
Yes.
Where are we? Three?
Hold on. House Bill 15?
Yes.
Okay. Were we going to have any Carpenetti explain it really quickly? Or
we heard from.
Oh, we did? Okay, then I'll remove my objection.
The objection is removed.
Is now in there, and this is out.
The chair would, is there any more committee discussion?
On the amendment?
I assume that the objection was removed. Amendment number 2 passes.
Okay.
Is there any discussion, any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move House Bill number 15, version E.
Ho.
As amended,
correct.
With individual recommendations and any attached zero physical note.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be excused.
Okay, we're back on the record. Catherine, if you would come up and join us, please.
For the record, my name is Catherine Kurtz. I'm an assistant revisor of statutes. I am with the legislative legal division of the Legislative Affairs Agency, and I'm the drafter of the revisor's bill that's before you.
Thank you, Catherine. We have House Bill 152 before us, we are here to consider amendments. Representative Coghill, I'm going to move amendment. Is this number one?
Two.
Number two? Amendment number two? Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, I would move amendment number two, which is amendment drawn up by Kurtz. It's a E.3 dated 3/18/09.
I'll object to figure out which one it is.
I don't have one. We have an E.
Mr. Chairman, if I might have Ms. Kurtz go ahead and speak to the amendment, please.
This amendment.
Can I just take an at ease for just a second? So it's E. Representative Coghill, you moved amendment number 2, which is E.3. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have amendment E.3 before us. Representative Holmes has objected for the purposes of the discussion. Madam Revisor, we're happy to have you before us. If you'll explain E.3 to us, please.
Through the chair, what this does is remove the second change that was being made in Bill Section 39. The issue in 2324.01b.3 is that the section of the U.S. Code that we're citing, 442 U.S.C. 662e, has been repealed. What this amendment does is leave that reference intact. So there would be no change to subparagraph 3. It has to do with the definition of legal process.
Yeah. Thank you. I I read the two definitions, and the amendment would say that we would continue to refer, if the amendment passed, we would continue to refer to a statute that had been repealed?
That is correct.
Correct.
And
substituting the new one?
Through the chair, that is correct. And that doesn't mean that can't be fixed. It means it's not going to be fixed in the revisor's bill, and that it's something that perhaps could be addressed in a substantive bill instead.
Okay.
Not that the problem goes away, but that it could be addressed somewhere else.
Okay. Thank you.
Is the objection maintained?
I'll remove it, and the
objection
somebody
is,
else has an objection.
The objection is removed, and amendment number 2 passes. Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 3, which is E.4, dated 3-18-09 by Kurtz.
I'll object for discussion.
Representative Holmes objects. Catherine, can you take us through E.4, please?
Through the chair, E.4 deletes 5 sections of the bill, sections 7, 20, 46, 84, and 85. All of these sections of the bill contain references to federal statutes. They're instances where the federal law is still there. It may have been changed. And in these instances, whereas having drafted the bill, I didn't put anything in this bill that I thought was going to substantively change Alaska law. But I can't honestly tell you that I can completely rule out the possibility that somebody with a greater depth of expertise in these particular federal programs wouldn't see an issue where I'm missing it. So for that reason, I'm suggesting that these 5 sections be taken out and, again, addressed, hopefully addressed, in a substantive bill where it can be looked at more closely.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just
on
that account, not that I ever wanted to pick up any more homework, because reading the U.S. Code is not that easy, but it might not be a bad idea if we got the respective departments mm-hmm. to tell us what the input if change to them is mm-hmm. rather than a revisor's bill. And that's usually my general question as to when we reference federal mm-hmm. code in our statute, that what we put ourselves in that very position. And so
yeah.
I appreciate the revisor's position on this. I will support the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unless there are other comments, I'll remove my objection.
The objection is removed. Amendment number 3 passes. Catherine, thank you very much for your patience and your hard work on behalf of the committee. House Bill 152 is back before the committee. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move House Bill number 152, version E, with amendments and attached fiscal note, if any, and individual recommendations.
Seeing no objection. House Bill 152 passes from committee. Okay, that concludes the business before the committee today. And Jane, we're taking up Representative Lynn's bill on Friday.
Animal abuse.
And what other business do we have before the committee on Friday?
We have HB 149, which is the legal services.
For our good friend Andy Harrington.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Andy and then the very colorful animal abuse bill covering a serious issue.
It is more than colorful.
It will define the career of the esteemed Representative Lynn.
Well,
further define it, further delineate it.
Quite frankly, I don't mind if the bill does define my career because it's so serious.
It is.
So please define me by that bill.
Indeed. Indeed. Actually, we covered it. It's a serious matter. And that will be our efforts on Friday. And at 1:30 today, we are adjourned.